Appreciate the singers.
Thank God.
Glad I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I look around the building today. I hope and pray that you're ready to go. If you're not, we're going to spend just a moment of time. You bear with us. And I want to thank all the those that are here again, friends, family, loved ones, all those that you answered the invitations of the members here that asked you to come. We appreciate you being here. I want to thank God for my preaching brethren. And we've got some right here on the front row that mean the world to me, and I thank God for them. And we know that we could ask any one of them to preach, and but I'm got something on my heart, so I'm going to just do what God would have us to do. Appreciate the songs this morning. We usually used to make comments about the songs. I just want to follow the Lord. But as they would sing, I thought about the song about I've never seen him, but I know that he lives. I'm glad he's living inside of me. And I'm glad today that my hope is anchored in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Because there have been a few times. And if you don't know what that song meant, I hope and pray that you have your first time in this building today. And when you have your first time, trust me, you're going to want more and more and more. That's just how good God is. Luke chapter 19 this morning, as we look at this portion of Scripture, it's very familiar. We say that often around here whenever we go to a Scripture, because I believe that we ought to be versed enough, those that are saved ought to be versed enough in the Bible that they're all familiar to you. And so we thank God for that, and we thank the Lord that He shows us things, reveals us things. And this is a Scripture that is taught to the little kids from the time that they are old enough to go down in the Sunday school. They sing a song about this man, Zacchaeus, and we all know the story about Zacchaeus. But the Lord showed me some things this morning that I would like to point out and spend some time with today, that I hope that it'll help you, and I hope that it'll encourage you. And you that are lost, I hope it gets you to understand something, because we were all in the same situation as Zacchaeus was in. And you might say, well, I'm not Zacchaeus. Well, you bear with me a moment of time, and I'm going to show you how we were all that way. But I hope and pray before we leave here, you can leave like Zacchaeus left. Listen, and so as we begin to look at the Scripture, we find in Luke 19 and verse 1, we thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. It said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as the also, as he also is of the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you can be seated today. And as we look at this Scripture, I'm going to make a few points, and we'll quickly hurry along and just give you what God has delivered unto us. But as we look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, we first find that Jesus is entering and passing through Jericho. I want you to know something this morning, that Jesus had a purpose for every place that he went. There was a reason that he passed through places. There was a reason that he entered into places. Hey, listen, Jesus didn't do anything haphazardly, and he didn't do anything half-heartedly. But every time that Jesus went somewhere, it was for a reason or for a purpose, or sometimes for an individual. And you might say, well, I don't know about that. You realize in the Bible, and I jotted a few things down this morning, I thought about how it was when Jesus, after he had first called the disciples, the Bible said that he went in to Simon, who was Simon Peter. He said he went into his house, and I believe the reason he went in there is because Jesus knew that Simon Peter had a mother-in-law that was sick, and so Jesus healed her when he went in there. The Bible says in John chapter 4, listen, it said that they must needs go to Samaria, and if you read your Bible, you know the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, and you can read your Bible in John 4 and it'll tell you that, but nonetheless Jesus had a reason and a purpose, and we find that he met a woman at Jacob's well, and listen, and talked to her about giving her a drink of water that she would never be thirsty again. Listen, I remember when Jesus also on another occasion, the Bible says that after he had healed many and fed the 5,000, that he told the disciples, we need to go to the other side of the lake. Listen, the Bible says as they got in that ship and they went to Gadara, listen, there was a purpose that he was there. The Bible said he didn't even go into the city. He just went to the place where the tomb was because there was a man named Legion, or they called him Legion. Listen, then Jesus had a purpose for him, and it was to cast out the demons that was in him, show his authority, and so the people could find that man resting and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't do anything haphazardly, but he has a purpose. I find also after his resurrection, when there were two men on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus come walking on the road. Listen, what purpose could he have of walking a road to Emmaus? Well, there were two fellas there that seemed to be a bit confused about life and the things that they had just occurred and had happened. Listen, in Jerusalem, but when Jesus come walking there and met them along the way, he put their hearts and their minds at ease, so much so that the Bible says that when he turned thanks and he broke bread, listen, that when their eyes were open, listen, they said, did not our hearts burn inside of us? Listen, because Jesus had come for a purpose and a reason. Listen, we also know that he went down to Bethany after 4 days, and Lazarus was dead. Some might say, well, he went there to see Mary and Martha. That might be so, but I would have to say that he went there for Lazarus. Hey, listen, and he went there to show his authority over death itself, because after they rolled the stone away and Lazarus come out of the grave at the voice and the command of my Lord and Savior, he said, loose him and let him go. Thank God. Listen, I'm also reminded in this particular scripture that he began to enter and pass through Jericho for Zacchaeus that day. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, it has this to do with you. There was a time that Jesus looked at the cross that was to be rose up on the mountain of Calvary. And he went there. And he didn't do it for just anybody. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of us here today. I'm glad he went to Calvary. I'm glad he went to Jericho. You say, oh, Jericho don't mean anything to me. Well, ask Zacchaeus. It meant the world to him. Listen, and the Bible says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Why did he do it? Because he had a love in his heart, and he knew there was a man there that needed help. And it said, and beheld, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And listen, if you read your Bibles, you'll know that a publican was someone who was a Jew by birth and by heritage, but they had worked for the Roman government. And so this man was a tax collector, if you'll have it, but he was the chief of them. In other words, he had the rule over a number of tax collectors. And listen, and much like today, those that collected taxes were hated in society. And listen, and so they didn't like them people because they lied and they would cheat and they would steal. They would weigh in balances that were false. They would take more money than they were supposed to. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us plainly that Zacchaeus was not only a publican, but he was rich. And it wasn't his pay that got him rich. It was what he was stealing that was getting him that way. But listen, all of a sudden the day come when Jesus come just for him. You might say, well, I don't really like that. But I want to say this, because when I read that scripture, I'm glad that God is not a respecter of persons. I'm glad he loves the thief. He loves the sinner. He loves the drug addict. He loves the alcoholic. He loves all of us. He loves the rich and the poor. He loves the short and the tall, the young and the old. Hey, listen, he loves you just like you are. The world will hate you, but I want you to know today that the Lord will walk through this place because he loves you. You remember the day that the Lord Jesus walked through of the place where you were because he loved you. Edison in the world might have cussed you, and they might have hated you, and you might have stabbed every friend you had in the back at one time. Hey, listen, you might have thought that no one cared about you, but I want you to know today that the Lord of heaven, he'll walk through the places where you are just to find you. Amen. Because he loves you. Oh, preacher, you're preaching a God of love. You're exactly right, I am. Hey, listen, because if we all got what we deserved, it'd have been judgment. I'm just glad he loved us enough that he sent his own son that he would find us where we are. He is a God of love. But he's also a God that demands, hey, listen, he is not a respecter of person, and his word has been spoken, and the end is already established. But we are here now, and the Spirit of God is walking and passing through and entering through so that you and I could be saved. For the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus told him, he said, "For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hey, listen, thank God that he come to save us, not to judge us. Because if we were all to be judged, we'd all be in hell right now. Every last one of us. There isn't the one person ever born in this world that could stand before the maker of the universe, a God of heaven, justified in himself. Nobody. I don't care how good your grandma was. I don't care how special and how righteous your grandpa was. Without the blood of Jesus, we're all hell bound. So Jesus come through. Here was this man that was undeserving. Society hated him. He was an outcast. Man, when they paid their taxes, they went home and they talked about that man. Some of them probably mentioned by name how much they hated him. But nonetheless, when word got out that Jesus was on the way, it said that Zacchaeus sought to see him. Didn't say he wanted to have anything to do with him. He wanted to look at him. And listen, the Bible says that he sought to see him, but he only had one problem. There was a big crowd wherever Jesus was. There was a crowd where Jesus was. And some of them might have been there only because they were healing, because he was healing them. And some might have been there because of the word had gotten out of the things he had done. And some of them might have wanted a taste of that bread that he had passed out. And some of them had might seen a few miracles. But I have to believe in my heart that there were some believers that were following him. I want you to know every born again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ will be following him. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm talking about those that are blood bought. They know who their Savior is. We know who our Savior is. I don't listen to the voice of another. I don't turn to the left or the right. I'm not about the newfangled religion. I'm not about the new things that are coming down the pike. I don't care what the world's doing. I'm following Jesus. Because I know that where he is, that's where I need to be. Because he's got exactly what I need. And so he was a crowd among him. And Zacchaeus, he wanted to see him. And he said, but he was short also. And not only was there a crowd, but he was a little fella. And he couldn't see through all them people. And so being such a man, he climbed up into a tree. I did some study and it said in my Bible, according to my Bible study guide, it said a sycamore tree could be 30 or 40 feet tall. But the leaves were, or the limbs were strong enough. And they bore down very low that even a short person could get upon one. And it could support their weight. So here was Zacchaeus. He got up on a limb, he climbed up, and he was looking out over the crowd because Jesus was supposed to come that way. Hey, listen, I'm glad that when we gather in the house of God, we come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, well, Jesus is supposed to be here. If we come looking for him, he'll be here. Zacchaeus was making an effort and making, hey, listen, he knew that Jesus was supposed to be that way. And Jesus didn't disappoint. Because Jesus never disappoints. I have never one time in my life been disappointed with what the Lord has done. Listen, man will disappoint you. Your parents can disappoint you. Your spouse can disappoint you. Your best friend can disappoint you in life. But Jesus will never disappoint you. Amen. So there he was, Zacchaeus in this tree looking out. Here comes Jesus. Probably walking. Probably wondering where. I don't know where he's going to go, but I see him now. And he's getting closer and he's getting closer and he's getting closer. Man, he's going to walk right by this tree. The only thing is, Jesus didn't walk right by that tree. He stopped. Thank God. You here that are saved, you know what I'm talking about. You here that are lost, you're about to. I hope and pray you find out today. But I remember sitting in the house of God. Hey, listen, some might have been saved at home. Some might have been saved in an automobile. Some were saved in a bar. I know here at the church, God can save you anywhere. He can walk by and stop anywhere. But nonetheless, we find Zacchaeus. He was in this tree and he was looking. Hey, listen, I'm just glad that the Lord knew where he was long before Zacchaeus ever laid eyes on him. Hey, listen, and the Lord determined, because he had entered Jericho. Hey, listen, and he was meaning to pass by and pass through, because he knew Zacchaeus was there. And when he got to the point where it was time to stop, he stopped in his tracks. I don't know how high Zacchaeus was. I don't know if anybody else in the crowd even saw him. But the Lord himself stopped. And it says that he looked up and saw him, and he began to speak to him. You remember the time you sat in the house of God, wherever you were, and nobody else may even realized you were there, but the Spirit of God come through the church, and you were seeing it, you were witnessing it, and seemingly out of nowhere, it stopped right beside you, and the Lord began to speak your name. It's as if God himself looked at you and said, "Come down, I want to talk to you right now." Hey, listen, you say, "Well, I don't know if I ever felt that." If you ever felt your heart beating out of your chest, you felt the hand and the power of God knocking at your heart. Hey, listen, I believe Zacchaeus probably had his heart beating out of his chest when Jesus stopped and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, get down here right now. For today, I'm going to abide in your house." You know what the word abide means? It means to continue with. It means to stay with. Hey, listen, what the Lord was telling Zacchaeus was, "Today, I'm going to continue and I'm going to stay in your house, Zacchaeus." Amen. Listen, and what did Zacchaeus do? Here's the time that a lot of people get to the point in their life, just like Zacchaeus was here. They're in a place where they might desire to see God. Maybe you're here today because someone invited you. Maybe you're here today because you got tired of saying no to someone when they were inviting you. Maybe you're here today because your mom or your dad or your dear friend or someone just asked you to come, and you thought, "I'll just go. It's a beautiful day. I'll see what they have to say." Little did you know that Jesus saw you long before you ever got here. And he beheld you where you were. And Jesus come by here, and he might even be dealing with your heart. And you might be feeling something on the inside. "Well, I never felt like this before." You might have heard me preach so far and say, "I've never heard anybody act or preach like that before. I can't even halfway understand what he's talking about." Well, give me just a minute, because it's not me. It's the Spirit and the power of God. And I'm going to hope and pray that God will knock at your heart, and he'll stop right where you are and begin to deal with you. And when he does, there's a decision that you have to make. Zacchaeus could have stayed in the tree. You understand that? Zacchaeus could have stayed there and said, "Nope, I ain't coming down. I've seen enough. I'm done." Unfortunately, in life and the day and time we're living in, a lot of people will come to the house of God. They'll see, they'll feel a little something, they'll realize it's different. They might even feel the knock, and they might even feel the pressing of the Spirit of God. And yet they still say, "Nope, I've had enough." That won't get you to heaven, friend. You've come to the door and you've turned your back and you've walked away. But Zacchaeus came down. What's it going to take, preacher? You're going to have to come down. You're going to have to get where Jesus is. He's called you, but you're going to have to come to him now. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Seeing Jesus didn't save him. Receiving Jesus did. Thank God today you remember the time when you saw him. Hey, listen, and what it was. But then you remember when you made haste and you got on an altar and you received him. How do you receive him? With joy you receive him. I've never spoke to anyone who has ever received God in misery and suffering. But everyone that has received the Lord Jesus Christ has done it joyfully, because they realize what they are saved from and what they are brought into and born into. Hey, listen, because what God has for you is far better than what the world has for you. And I'll say this today. We look around this crowd. And listen, we've got this pew of preachers with us today. And some might even be some sitting through the congregation, born again believers. And listen, we all can tell you and to test you today that there's joy in serving the Lord. And God has never let us down. And there's continual joy in serving. I believe it was Peter. He said in one scripture, he said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I quote that one quite often. And listen, because whenever we come to the house of God, it don't matter how miserable the work day was. It don't matter how hard the day was. It doesn't matter what kind of a situation or battle or valley that you're walking in. When you get to where God is, and listen, you can come and you can feel His Spirit. All of a sudden, the joy begins to enter in. And when you feel that joy of God, you realize and understand, hey, listen, that this world has no hold on you. So the Bible says that Zacchaeus received him joyfully because Jesus was going to come and abide in his house. And when they saw it, this was they and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the naysayers, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I want you to know something. The Jews in the Bible, in the days of Christ and even sometime today, and we got people today that still don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, or hey, listen, they're still looking for a Messiah. They're still looking for a king. They're looking for something different. They're looking out there, and that's what these were doing. Hey, listen, they were expecting royalty. They were expecting someone righteous. They were expecting someone to come in with authority. And when Jesus began to speak to Zacchaeus and say, today I'm going to your house, they said, well, he's going to go and to be a guest in the house of a sinner. All I have to say about that is thank God that Jesus did go to the house of the sinner, because if it wasn't the house of sinners where he went to, there ain't none of us would have ever made it. So we ought not to be so self-righteous that we can tell God what we think He ought to be. We ought just to accept Him for what He has done for us and who He is. And when we get ourselves out of our own mind and get Him in our hearts, we'll fully understand the love of God. Zacchaeus knew that he was hated, but on that day it didn't matter. He knew that the people in that crowd probably wanted to stone him, but it didn't matter. They knew, he probably knew, there were probably some in the crowd that he had stole from. But God changed his heart. Amen. I mean, how do you know? You might say, well, how do you know you passed from that? How do you know he got saved? How do you know Zacchaeus got saved? Well, you read on. Yeah. He had a heart change.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
His desires changed. His motives changed.
Amen.
I mean, he began to look around, and after they were still murmuring about the things that Jesus had done, but Zacchaeus was just happy that he had already received the Lord. And he stood and he said to the Lord, he said, I'm going to give half of all my goods. I'm going to give them to the poor. In other words, he saw all the stuff that he'd been hoarding, all the rubbish, all the garbage, everything that he thought was important in life, all the things he'd been hoarding up because he thought that was what life was about. He looked at it and he said, I don't need half this stuff. I just give it away. You realize today that the world's so consumed with buying, so consumed with hoarding, so consumed with collecting, so consumed with gaining in this world, that they're looking past the most important and precious thing that there is to man, and that's the love of God.
Amen.
Zacchaeus realized that he didn't need it. You want to know why we're so odd to the world? Christians are odd to the world. I'm not saying that you just go around and you live like a pauper. But I know where everything comes from.
Amen.
I know that it's God who gives it. And God can take it away.
Yeah.
And so, and there have been times, and probably many of us sitting here today, there's times you go through your house and you go through your closet and you go, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. And you say, I give all this stuff away. The world will go set it out in their yard and they'll sell everything for about the price of a new one. I'm not knocking y'all have yard sales. Go ahead and have as many as you want. I don't go to them, just to let you know. But I just take it down and give it away. Do I know somebody needs this? You want to know why? Because God put something different inside. You realize it's not about what you gave.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, God gave it to me. I'm done using it. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe they need it. Maybe they need help. You never know who you're going to touch by your act of goodwill. When God puts something in your heart and just shows you you don't need something. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give half what I got to the poor. And he said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll restore him fourfold. You know what the law required? 20%. The law required that and 20%. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give him four times what I stole from him. I'm going to give him 200%. I guess that's math. I don't know. But he gave him more than was required. Because he had a heart of love. Because he had a love of God. And Jesus went home with him and he stayed there. And the Lord told him, he said, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Y'all remember?
Bless him, Lord.
You that are saved, remember the day that you got up off the altar?
Yeah.
And the Spirit wasn't knocking anymore, it was inside. Because you had received it. And the love overwhelmed you. And you were able to look around and you'd say, I know I'm going to heaven. Salvation has truly come to my house. Jesus told him in John chapter 15, and I had it marked and I was going to read it, but Jesus talks about he said, I am the true vine and you are the branches over there. That's what he tells him. He said, if any man abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, you'll bring forth the things and the righteous works of God. And he said, for without me, ye can do nothing, is what Jesus told him. And he said, but the word that I have spoken, it will abide in you. In other words, you say, preacher, how do I know to do what God would want me to do? Because when you are saved and salvation has come to your house, the word of God will abide inside of you. And it's a long time in the old Bible. They followed the law. They followed the priests. They followed those that led the way. But the Lord himself said, the day will come when they'll not have to ask. They will know. I will write my laws in their hearts. I will put it in their mind. And listen, you won't read it off of a tablet. You'll know it because it'll live inside of you.
Amen.
And so the word of God abides in the hearts of those that believe Jesus Christ. And if you ever doubt and you say, I don't know what God wants me to do, you pray long enough and the Spirit will come by your way and it'll stir that heart. And listen, and all of a sudden those words of God will begin to move inside. And listen, and it'll remind you of who you are. We all need reminded every now and then of who we are. Zacchaeus had it. Jesus said, this day salvation has come to the house. In other words, it came that day. It never left him. It was there that day. It was there the next day. It was there the next day. And Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. Said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all lost. I said it here a while back, and I've said it before, and we all heard it in the past. And many of you might say it now. I don't know. I've heard the saying all my life, I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. But because I'm saved by grace, I ain't a sinner no more. I might fall short in this carnal body, and there's times this flesh gets out of the way, but what is saved inside of me is always saved. It don't lust after sin no more. It don't live after sin no more. Hey, listen, it's been changed into the likeness and the glory of God. And I am a new creature, Apostle Paul said, in Jesus Christ. I have died out to sin. I've become new. Hey, listen, what was there was destined for hell and judgment and wrath and outer darkness and a lake of fire. But now my citizenship has been changed and I am a citizen of heaven. I am an heir with Christ. Hey, listen, an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I'm not a sinner anymore.
That's right.
But I love them that they come to my side. They come to where I am. They come to where Jesus is. And so therefore, we are much like Philip. As and the church knows, some of my favorite scripture, when Philip found Nathanael, he said, "Man, we found him. We found him. We found the Messiah. This is the one that Moses talked about. This is one the prophets had talked about. It's Jesus of Nazareth." You remember when you got saved, you were excited, and you went to your friends and said, "I was born again, I'm saved, you need to come to church." Yeah. Your friends looked at you and said, "Nah, that ain't for me." Nathanael looked at Philip and said, "Can anything come out of, anything good ever come out of Nazareth? I mean, Nazareth's poor. That's where all the poor people live down that place. I mean, there's nothing good comes out of there. You need to come and see." That's what we need to tell our people. We try to take the Bible and beat them over the head. We try to tell them, quote John 3:16, Psalms 23. "Hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. Hey, listen to what you need to do. You need to come and see. Because I don't have the words to tell you. I don't have the spirit and the power and the authority that God has. Hey, listen, I can tell you to come and see, but I do know this. When you come and see him for yourself, he'll enter in and pass through, and you'll leave changed. If you come down out of the tree like Zacchaeus did, you'll leave different." He changed me one day. He'll change you right now if you come. You receive him. You've seen him. You say, "I don't know if I've seen him." If you've not seen him, you're blind. And the devil has you in a dark place right now. You've witnessed him in the choir. You've witnessed him in the songs. You've heard the message. You've seen the church rejoice. You've heard the amens. You've seen hands raised. You've seen him. It's up to you. You got to receive it. If you stay where you are and he walks on by, there could come a time tomorrow, there could come a time next week, there could come a time 30, 40, 50 years down the road when you're laying on a bed and death comes walking in the room and you'll beg God. You will beg him to have mercy on you. And he'll say, "Remember that time I walked by?" Some might say, "Well, hey, I believe in deathbed professions. I've seen a few. I don't recommend them." Because you can't get saved when you want to. You'll get saved when God walks by. You'll get saved when he passes by and he knocks at your heart and deals with your heart. That's when you'll get saved. You know, when Zacchaeus received Jesus Christ, when Jesus stood still, looked at him and said, "Come down right now." That's when you get born again. When the Spirit of God will stop where you are and say, "Come right now, I'm drawing you. You need to come right now." But you can stay there and you'll die. If the Lord never comes by again, God is justified in everything that he does. You will lift your eyes out of the lake of fire and outer darkness, out of the depths of hell, and God will be justified in everything that he's ever done. Because Jesus told him it is not his will. I mean, the Bible tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's all of us. And he could be dealing with you right now. And if he is, you need to come. I'm going to ask the singers to come and get a song. And we're going to all stand to our feet. And we're going to sit real. We're going to stand real quiet. And we're going to pray real hard. You say, "Why are you doing that, preacher?" Because right at this moment, God could be knocking at your heart, and I don't want there to be any disruptions between what you're feeling and someone fidgeting in the congregation. We need to be mindful. We need to be prayerful that the Lord will deal with their heart and that they'll come. Friend, right now, Jesus has... The Lord has come through this place. The Spirit of God, the power of God has come down on this church and made its way just for you. So I guess my question is this. I'm just a man. And I say this often. I'm a dying man preaching to a dying people. But what we preach is the word of life and eternity in heaven. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so right now is your opportunity to come. I beg you to come. I can't save you, but Jesus can. If the Lord has stopped and dealing with your heart, knocking, please, won't you come right now? He wants to talk to you. He wants to save you. He wants to come into your house and abide with you. But in order for Him to do that, you have to receive Him.
Amen.
How do I receive Him? Just call on Him from the depths of your heart.
Sure.
Be honest with Him for who you are.
Amen.
And what you are. And ask Him to forgive you. And just like that, my Lord and Savior will forgive you. And salvation will come to your house. But you got to give Him it all. Give Him everything you have while they sing, while we pray.
Are you a stranger to God?
You can pray in your seat. You can walk down and pray at this altar.
Help me.
Your conversation with God does not involve anyone in this church except you and Christ. You can have that conversation anywhere. The important thing is that you have the conversation with Him. That you call out, ask forgiveness, beg, repent. Jesus told Nicodemus in the scripture in John chapter 3.
Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die?
He told him he must be born again.
Call on Him while He is near.
How do you get born again? You repent. Ask God's forgiveness.
Moments are swift passing.
Deny yourself. Deny who you are. What you think in your mind. And trust your heart. Trust in the Lord. Seek His face. Receive Him. When I was lost, I was scared to death to die. And I was scared. I didn't want to die. I didn't want separation.
Are you unsaved?
Now that I'm born again, death don't scare me. I know I'm going to die. We're all going to die. I just know where I'm going
to
wake up. And I know that where I wake up is going to be a joyful place. Satan will blind your eyes and lie to you. Some people think when they close their eyes in death, that's it. They'll never remember anything else. That's a lie. The Bible teaches us that God has a cup of wrath. And it'll be poured out one day. All those that have not believed in His own Son.
Are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die?
Hearts are heavy. Church, appreciate your prayers. Continue to pray. My earnest desire is that if you have turned Him away and you've let this opportunity pass by, that the Lord will come by again sometime. And that you might leave the building, but He might still be knocking. You might go home tonight, but He might still be knocking. I hope that you receive Him. Then you can call and let us know the good news.
Yeah.
That you've received the Lord and you're saved. We love you today. We want to invite everyone to come back in our fellowship and have lunch with us, dinner with us, whatever you call it, and eat with us, fellowship. We're going to gather back in about 2 o'clock, if that's okay, and we'll have another service this afternoon. But we want to enjoy each other's company and fellowship one with another. It's good to see our many friends and family today. So we're not going to tarry any longer. We want to thank everyone for being here. Please, if you have to leave, we encourage you to stay. If you have to leave, please come back and get a plate of food or something to take with you. Carry out, we've got some.